So we are going to open in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We've been looking in the last couple of weeks on Wednesday night at some of immutable laws that God instituted for our benefit. And this is one that perhaps you've not thought of, but it is a law. It's a law of learning. And I thought we could take a look at some of the things that God's Word says about it, since the Bible is all about learning. We're just going to get a glimpse. But God has designed human beings to grow and learn throughout their life. It's fantastic when you read about Jesus Christ, even as a youth, about how much he grew in the Word, how much he grew in the knowledge of God and in the grace of God. And that was, the one record of his childhood was when he's 12 years old. I think most of the time when people think of learning, they think of trial and error. But there must be another way to learn, because Jesus Christ never erred. Now, certainly we do learn, or hopefully we can learn from our errors, and trial and error is a mode of learning. But we're going to look at God's method of learning. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 is a wonderful verse. It says in verse 3.
Chapter 16?
15. 2 Chronicles 15:3. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. Now that's a sad statement. God's chosen people. But for a long time, Israel had been without the true God. And it says, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And the word law here we would think of as the Word. Now there's a corollary between all three of these things that they were without. They were without the Word because no one was teaching it. They didn't have a teacher. Some of you might remember Romans chapter 10 is, how should they hear if no one teaches, if no one preaches the Word? There's no one teaching the Word in Israel. And so when they were without the Word, they could not know God. So for the Word of God to be made known, somebody's got to teach it. And that's the law of learning. That's, what God intended. Now he is our great teacher. But oftentimes when people are first coming to learn about God, it requires the intermediary of a human voice. Look at 1 John chapter 1. First John, you might be familiar, is all about fellowship with God. It has a particular address to newer Christians, people getting in the Word. And it's fantastic that it starts with the Word. Verse 1, it says, 1:1 of First John. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Now, most times when people read from the beginning, they think of Genesis, but this is talking about from Pentecost. I think there's 6 uses in this chapter of from the beginning, and none of them deal with Genesis, or Genesis 1:1. There is one that deals with from the beginning of evil being found in Satan, which was after the first heaven and earth, between verses 1 and 2. But the rest of them talk about from Pentecost, and that's what this is talking about. So the Word of God, which we've seen, which we've heard, which our hands have handled, and you remember that's a figure of speech representing that they've worked it, they've worked the Word, hands have handled. It says, verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto you. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, So they were teaching it to them. That ye also may have fellowship with who?
Us.
And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how it works for newborn Christians. It's how it works for children that are born into Christian families. First, their fellowship isn't directly with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, but it's with us. It's with the parents, if it's a family, or it's with whoever brought you to fellowship. You remember the days? You know, you're starting to fellowship with these people. You know, these people that speak in tongues. These people that know how to find places in the Bible. Remember? You know, wow. These people that sing out loud. Right? But fellowship with us. But because the us were teaching them the word, they learned to have fellowship with Jesus Christ and God. It's the teaching of the word that facilitates it. Look at first, well, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We had this verse the other night, but I didn't go in detail to it because it was a little different topic. It's in verse, Philippians 4, verse 12. It says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. This was something that Paul had learned. Was he learned how to handle things when there wasn't much there. When there was, say, physical lack or, you know, physical challenges. You know, I know how to do that, is what he's saying. And I also know how to handle abundance. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people don't consider that side of it. You know, that could be equally challenging when you have abundance. You know, particularly with your walk with God, it can really trip you up. You know, remember, didn't Jesus Christ talk about how difficult it was for a rich man to enter the kingdom, you know, going through the eye of the needle? Remember that? I mean, you know, learning how to deal with varying circumstances, how to, you know, live with God. But Paul knew it. Paul, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am what? Instructed. He'd been taught. See, I am instructed. And then it says both to be full. Everywhere, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This word instructed here is real terrific. It's the verb form of the Greek word musterion. And it literally means to be initiated into a mystery, to have been taught a secret. And this is a fantastic secret to learn. You can learn it from God's word. Is that no matter what the circumstances are, that God takes care of you. Whether you have a lot or a little, that God's your provider, that God is there, he's your strength. It's a confidence that develops in the Word of God that you've been taught to know that God provides, that he sees and provides for you. You know, a lot of Christians have yet to be initiated into that secret. So they spend most of their waking hours thinking about material things, thinking about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to put on, what my 401k is going to do, oh my God, when can I retire, you know, all of those things that can really distract you from the things of God, right? Has that ever happened to anybody else but me? But Paul has been initiated into that secret that God will provide his every need. He was taught it. He learned it. It's a good thing for us to learn. It's a good thing for us to be taught. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, wait, before we go there, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 6, this kind of ties into what we saw in 1 John. It says, verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit." So when Paul and others, Timothy, Silas, when they brought the word of God to Thessalonica, it wasn't just the teaching of the word, but it was also the demonstration or the showing of the word, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You know, like what we had earlier, bringing the witness, the proof in the senses realm of the internal presence and reality of Christ within, right? The signs, miracles, and wonders that follow believing. They not only taught, but they demonstrated, they showed the power of God. And it says, "And in much assurance, as ye know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of" who?
Us.
Now again, wait a minute. I thought we weren't supposed to follow men as Christians. We're supposed to follow the Lord. But they became followers first of Paul, Timothy, Silas, of their examples. They became followers of us. And then it goes on to say, "and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." So again, they became followers first of those who were teaching them the word. And then as they did, they learned to follow the Lord directly by learning to read the word, learning to operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, maturing, growing up. And then as you grow and mature, then you have something that you can share with younger believers that you can start teaching. And it's a wonderful virtuous cycle of learning that takes place. The word followers could maybe better be rendered in English as the word imitators. It's the Greek word mimetes in the Greek from which we get imitators. Became imitators of us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. See, that's really so much of how we learn, is by imitation. And if you have a good example to follow, and you imitate it, then it's going to be good learning. It's kind of like if someone is teaching the Word of God to you, and they rightly divide the word, and they understand it, and they know it, then, it's good food, it's good nourishment. It'll help you in your Christian walk. But if you are listening to somebody who doesn't rightly divide the word, maybe they got you right in the middle of the revelation period. The COVID-19 is one of the vials that has been opened. And we laugh, but tell me that ain't going around these days. So, but you get the Word of God rightly divided, and then, then it's for your healthy growth as a Christian. Same thing if someone's a good example to you, in their walk with God, then you have something good to imitate. First Corinthians chapter 11, it says, verse 1, "Be ye followers," and it's that same word, mimetes, "be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." At the beginning of Acts, at the beginning of the church, in Acts 2, there were a number of people, certainly including the 12 apostles, but a number of other disciples who had been following the Lord Jesus Christ directly and had learned from his example. They had been taught the Word of God consistently, accurately, lovingly by Jesus Christ. And then they also had seen his great example. So even from the very inception of Christianity, this law came into play because they had the apostles, they had the disciples as the Word moved to follow. So Paul said, "Be a follower of me," but the reason you're to follow Paul's example is because he was a follower of the Lord. And really, that's the example that's given in the church epistles for us to follow. I know a lot of times people say, "Well, what would Jesus do?" But really, if you want to be accurate in this administration, it should be what would Paul do? And it's wonderful when you think of it, when you think of Paul's example, because it really does tie into a lot of the things that you and I have had to deal with, like sin consciousness. I've done some things in my life that I'm not proud of. You know, Carol knows. It's true. We all have, right? But I never went around murdering Christians. Throwing them in prison. I wasn't the number one enemy of Christianity like Paul was. But yet, he is given as our example because he was one that became strong in the grace of God. And that as committed as he was to the persecution of the church, he turned 180 degrees to the preaching of the gospel. And he's our example to follow. Be imitators of Paul as he is of the Lord. You know, what really spurred this teaching for me, it was great yesterday. We had Davey's family over for dinner. And we were having a glass of wine outside or something. We were sitting around, and, a few of us adults. And there with us was little one-year-old Hope. And she was walking around, and all of a sudden, she wanted this one particular item, and it was this. And this is an old, out-of-date, broken camera. We haven't used it for years. It's become a children's toy around here. But she really wanted this. And the reason was is because there were three of us sitting in those chairs out there, and then she went and got in her little place in the other chair, and all three of us were looking at our telephones. So you know what she wanted to do?
Yeah.
She was sitting there, and she was such a big girl. She was sitting there, looking around, making sure we noticed. But she's there looking at her little phone, just like Mommy was, just like Nanny was, just like Grandpa was. That's how you learn. Imitate. Now, hopefully you give a good example to follow, to imitate. But that's how you learn. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a very much a pivotal point in Christianity's history. It's what precedes it in the previous chapter, Acts 19, is the greatest outreach that's ever occurred in the history of Christianity. In 2 years and 3 months, the Word of God moved throughout all Asia Minor. Everybody heard it. And the Word of God became the prevailing influence in that part of the world. That hasn't happened since. It just, the Word moved like wildfire. It was just dominant. But then in Acts 19:21, there's an incredible turning point. And the turning point sort of revolves around Paul's wayward decision, instead of following the Lord, that he was, out of his own heart, going to direct his steps and go to Jerusalem. And it was a huge error. It was a major error. And the church suffered tremendously because of it. But this particular record follows that in Acts chapter 20. And we're going to pick it up in verse 17. It says, "And from Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." So we would call this a fellowship coordinator's meeting. He called those that were leading fellowships, church meet in your home. So he called the elders of the church, the overseers of the church, to come from Ephesus, this great place where the Word of God moved so dynamically. They came to Miletus for this leaders' meeting. And it says in verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So he's bringing to their remembrance his example of what manner of man he was amongst them. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So it was a tremendous outreach that occurred, but it was not easy. It was not in any wise easy. There was tremendous persecution, tremendous opposition. And then it says in verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Now, a verse of scripture that could come to mind, could come to your mind, is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is what? Profitable. See, he kept back nothing that was profitable unto them. He taught them the full gamut of God's word. You know, specifically the full gamut concerning Jesus Christ. You know, of him being promised in the Old Testament, of his coming, of his birth, of his life, his sinless life, of his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. You know, he fully instructed them, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have what? Taught you publicly and from house to house. So again, he not only taught them, but what else did he do? He showed them, you know, teach and show. You know, that's how it works, is that you teach, you know, precept, you teach what the Word of God says, what the Bible says, but then you show it, you demonstrate it. And these people knew it because they were the elders of Ephesus. You know, they had seen his example. Now he's reminding them of that. You know, that's what they're to keep in mind, so that they too would imitate Paul and not hold back anything that was profitable. That they would be good examples of the Word of God living, so that others could learn and the Word of God could keep moving. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, Paul, from his heart, from his emotion, he so desperately wanted to take the word of God to Jerusalem so that the Jews could believe. Now, you could say that he was extremely sincere, and he was. You could say he was extremely committed. He was dedicated. But he was also dead wrong, because he was disobeying what God said to do. And it screwed up things big time. And it goes on to say, verse 25, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. It's one of the consequences of him going to Jerusalem. You know, he knew that they weren't going to see him anymore. And then it goes on to say, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Once again, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. It didn't hold back anything profitable. He taught them well. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And when you consider what that means, the word of his grace, well, that would be the revelation given to Paul. The seven or nine church epistles to seven churches. All of them start with grace. All of them end with grace. All of them are about grace, the age of grace in which we live. And then it goes on to say, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. See, he was a good example unto them, so they could imitate him. You know, I think one of the things that has been laid at the feet, and sometimes rightfully so, of Christians, has been that sometimes Christians can be hypocrites. You know, maybe, you know, really terrific in what they say from the pulpit, but not so good what they do Monday through Saturday. You know, not such good examples. You know, maybe some scandals or other things that come up, or, you know, people that really do it for the money. You know, a lot of pitfalls that can be there. And, you know, that's really what a hypocrite is, in particularly in the context that we're looking at, is somebody who would say something, but then not exemplify it, not do it. You know, two-faced, a hypocrite. But Paul wasn't. He said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things. We saw repeatedly that he had taught them all things. And now it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. What a tremendous teaching to this assembly of fellowship coordinators. You know, what a tremendous example and what a tremendous encapsulation of true Christian leadership. And it revolves around teaching and showing. You know, and that's how we learn. That's how we learn from a little child. You know, that's how we continue to learn. And, you know, we do have to be selective of what, you know, we're allowing our brains to entertain, particularly in this day and time with the internet and so many other forms of communication. There's so much stuff you can avail yourself of. And if you're not discriminate in that, it can be just garbage in, garbage out. But, you know, getting the Word of God, getting it taught rightly, getting it so that you mature and grow. And really, you know, looking around this room, I would say that these words apply to all of us. Because it's not just to somebody who has the official position of being a fellowship coordinator, whatever that might mean, but it's really addressed to mature Christian believers. You know, we're the ones that, the mature ones, that are encouraged to support the weak. And that, what's the support of the weak? Well, in context, it's to help them to grow up so that they're no longer weak. You know, get on the learning track so that they got a good example to follow. Get on the learning track so that the teachings that they're hearing are sound and consistent and regular. So teach and show is very much at the heart of our learning, of this law of learning that God has instituted for our benefit. So I thought that in light of what we just looked at, there was a poem that came to mind. I've asked Morgan to read it. So I grew up, Carol and I grew up in the Detroit area, and there was a guy who was very famous back then. His name was Edgar Guest. He used to have a radio show and be a contributor to the local newspapers. And then his son replaced him and also had a radio show. And but he's a very famous poet, Edgar Guest. In fact, his poems were at one time spread through about 300 different newspapers throughout the country. He was the only in the history of the state of Michigan, the poet laureate of the state of Michigan. So I looked all that up. And so Morgan's going to share a wonderful poem to conclude by Edgar Guest.
Called Sermons We See. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live.
God bless you. Let's give a round of applause. Thank you, Morgan.
Yep.